her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
I swear my computer locks up on me between every segment. I'm coming back here and tapping my password in like a maniac.
Oh, it just like goes to sleep and then you
locks,
have to.
And then I'm like, oh, instead of being able to.
You
just
said
pop
locked up. I thought you were having like, it was frozen. You couldn't
get
in.
Oh, no, just locked. Okay. Like security, you know, like, oh, you've been dormant for too long type of thing. Which you could also argue explains my summer a lot. I've been dormant most of the summer. Now I have to wake up for college football season. Baseball is having a moment. Baseball right now is having a lot of success. Look, you could argue that the Brewers having success and there's a lot of interest surrounding the Brewers. No questions asked. But Rob Manfred, commissioner of baseball, was on the Little League World Series broadcast the other night. He was talking about the future of baseball. And apparently this is not a new thing for Rob Manfred to talk about. In fact, it sounds like this is something he has been interested in for a while. And we're talking about realignment. So take a listen to Rob Manfred on the broadcast this weekend talking about realignment in Major League Baseball.
In my mind, I think if we expand, it provides us with an opportunity to geographically realign. I think we could save a lot of wear and tear on our players in terms of travel. And I think our postseason format would be even more appealing for, you know, entities like ESPN, because you'd be playing up out of the East, out of the West, and that 10 o'clock time slot where we, you know, sometimes get Boston, Anaheim,
yes,
would be two West Coast teams. And that 10 o'clock slot that's a problem for us sometimes becomes a real opportunity for our West Coast audience. So I think, you know, I think the owners realize that there's demand for Major League Baseball in a lot of great cities, and that we have an opportunity to do something good around that expansion process.
I love it. I love
it. What the hell is he talking about, though, Chewy? Like, yes, Boston goes out and plays Los Angeles one time a year, but more often than not, aren't the Dodgers playing the Padres or the Giants or the Diamondbacks?
I just think there's some great rivalries between cities that are close that would be really good. Like, why wouldn't you put the Yankees and Mets in the same? And then put Philly in there, and then who's Boston?
So what, you would get rid of Red Sox, Yankees?
Milwaukee should be Chicago, Minneapolis,
the other
Twins,
Chicago,
and Detroit.
So you don't think there's any necessity to keep, if you have two teams in a major city, keep them in the separate leagues?
No. No. Wouldn't that be great?
I don't know. I got to work through it. So The Athletic posted a proposed realignment. And I was I opened the link this morning and I was expecting it to be absolute mayhem, right? Like dogs and cats living in harmony, all of this stuff. It actually makes a lot of sense. You know, they don't really alter a lot of the divisions, if we're being honest, okay? So what they proposed for the American League realignment is the East stays the same. It's the Orioles, the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Blue Jays. The West stays the same, except if there's an expansion team that goes to Salt Lake City or Portland, they would be looped into the AL West. AL North stays the same. AL South is where things get a little crazy. Colorado Rockies would be in the AL South. Houston Astros would be in the AL South. Kansas City Royals would be in the AL South. And the Texas Rangers. But if you look at a map, guys, those four teams are actually just a square.
Yeah, it's closer together than you actually realize.
They make a square down there in the South. So then you move to the National League. And again, this is a proposal from The Athletic once Rob Manfred once again brings up a realignment in Major League Baseball. The East stays the same. Mets, Phillies, Pirates, Nationals. No, the Pirates they have actually jumping to the other league because mm-hmm. How does that work?
They would be the Pirates would be
the Brewers division, correct. So they would be switching divisions.
Correct.
The NL West stays the same. The NL North stays the same. Again, we're going from five teams in some of these divisions, right, to four because
mm-hmm.
of the lopsided number of Major League Baseball right now. The South is where things get real interesting. So, Gabe, I'm going to give you the teams that would be in the NL South: Atlanta Braves, Miami Marlins, Tampa Bay Rays, and then the expansion team, which would either be going to Nashville or Raleigh. Thoughts on that?
It's a pretty crappy division because you've got an expansion team. You're not quite sure how that new city is going to react. And then the Marlins and
Tampa
the Rays.
Bay, no one goes to games.
Yeah. I mean, they would
same
be.
Same with Marlins.
Those would be the two lowest attended franchises if it wasn't for the Athletics playing in a minor league ballpark. Like, those would be the two, and I know the Rays are also playing in a minor league ballpark, but it's not like the Rays have been setting attendance records the last decade or so. So you've got a really proud franchise, a franchise that's been pretty much relevant my entire lifetime, the Atlanta Braves, with two of the Florida teams and an expansion team. And that's the other thing. Like, is baseball ready for expansion? Are they really ready for
baseball
expansion?
Baseball doesn't have superstars anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Can you name me a player?
Honestly, that's
can you name
point.
Me a player on the Colorado Rockies? I can't name one.
Well, and you even think about guys like the players that were in this year's home run derby.
Yeah.
Like, and again, they're good players. I'm taking nothing away from them. But superstars? Like, the run of the mill people could just be like, oh, that's him. I know him. Like, no.
Trying to tell me the big dumper's not a superstar.
I can guarantee you.
Unbelievable. Best nickname in all of sports.
Yeah,
we're just going to dump on the big dumper?
He needs a quirky nickname in order to elevate him to quote unquote, and I'm not even sure I'm willing to do this, superstar status.
Big dumper's a superstar.
But
you
bite your
tongue.
Who's the big dumper? What's his name?
Cal Raleigh.
I guarantee you, every football team, you could probably name at least three people on every NFL.
But that's different, Chu.
Well, how is it different?
Because we're obsessed as a country with football.
Yes, but football, I don't know if you could expand. Because I don't know. Because you're going to dilute the pool of superstars.
You're already.
Right?
Well, no, I'm not worried about superstars. I'm just worried about diluting the talent pool, period. We've got teams that are very uncompetitive right now in baseball.
That's because there's no cap, though. That's because there's no cap. You mix the cap with expansion, and now we're talking.
I don't know if we're getting a cap is the problem. Like, let's figure that out first before we start talking about expansion and new divisions and all those things. Because, again, you have the White Sox who are just awful. I mean, there are probably some minor league teams that are going to be giving, like, the Brewers system probably has some better players than what the Rockies are putting out.
So that's what I would say to you. I don't think it's a lack of talent. I think you can blame front offices. I think you can blame them for drafting poorly. And then I think the Brewers are a team that obviously have historically had a very good developmental coaching staff, where they get guys in the lab and they're able to elevate their talent and get them to the next level. Not everyone has that. I think there's a ton of talent out there. I think you got guys champing at the bit who want to be in the major leagues, who are playing in the Northwoods League, who are playing in this league. I told you guys my buddy's kid plays down in Joliet all summer long because he loves baseball. Now, you could argue, well, yeah.
That's not good enough. That's not good enough talent, though. That's what I'm talking about.
But what if you took some of those guys? And I think the Brewers are a good example of this, guys. The Brewers are all of these no-namers who the Brewers have collected and have had in their farm system and pulled from all these other places. And somehow, they're blowing everybody's minds.
I played in a time in the early 90s. Remember? Do you guys remember Plan B? So Frank was a casualty of... You guys don't remember Plan B? All right, let's go to break.
There's something a little more famous.
What am I missing here?
We'll tell you.
We'll explain to you when you're ready.
Plan B. Plan B.
Why don't you ask Jeff Levering about Plan B?
Plan B. Plan B was essentially every team could only protect X amount of players. So you could protect, it was either 44 or 47, and the rest was open up to a pool.
Yeah, it's kind of what the Rule 5 draft is. That's what Rule 5 is in baseball.
You know, then they were like, this name is not working
for us. Are
you
guys going to tell me why you're laughing?
Yes, we will during the break.
Okay.
Jeff Levering coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He sounds like the Beatles.
What? Anyone?
This is a new one on me.
Listen to his interview. The way he talks. He sounds like Paul McCartney.
Ringo farted and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We get to introduce Jeff Levering to Hughes Day here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, where we honor the greatness of Huey Lewis and the news. And speaking of great, good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Great, Jen. Thank you. And I love Huey Lewis and the news, so I'm all about it.
All right. Perfect. Fantastic.
You.
I said to the guys this morning, Yesterday's game, to me, really encapsulated the way that the Brewers have been navigating this unbelievable stretch. I think I said that they're 30-5 since the 4th of July. Freddie Peralta goes out there, gives them a quality start. They needed him to go deep because of the state of the bullpen, got in a little jam, but got out of the jam. And then it was like death by a thousand cuts. A hit here, a hit here, a hit here. And then the big inning in the 4th where they just take advantage of mistakes. They make you pay. Do you agree that yesterday's game was sort of, yes, this is your 2025 Brewers?
1,000% correct. Yes. They popped a couple of home runs, which they haven't. They've been doing a lot more here in the month of August, especially Bryce Strain's got 7 homers in August. But especially that 8th inning where it's walk, 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 infield single, pitcher throws a ball down the right field line. There's a pitch timer violation because Sal Frelick's dancing off the second base bag. So you get a free pitch here. Base hit, base hit. I mean, it was just... that was a Brewers inning. They've been doing that all year long. And I thought Caleb Durbin's comment after the ball game was over about, listen, we're sharks in the water. And I said it on the broadcast. I was like, they just threw chum in the ocean. And our sharks are just crushing right now. That's exactly what they do. You make a mistake and the Brewers will take advantage of it. They've been doing it all year long.
Jeff, so we all see in the NFL when a team starts to run away and clenches things, there's the discussion, do we sit the quarterback for this game, players, your star players? With the Brewers who are running away with this thing, do you rest your players like now and coming up instead of at the very end of the season? Is that the philosophy? Or is there a philosophy?
So I think you're starting to see that a little bit, but I don't think that this team has a throttle down mode. I don't think that Pat Murphy operates that way. No. I think he wants to keep that pedal to the metal the entire time, because as soon as they take their foot off of someone's throat, that person's going to get up. And the Brewers do not want that. The Brewers want to continue to bludgeon people. That's what they want to do. And that's what they've been doing for the last 2.5 months now, since the middle of May. I think that the Brewers only know how to play one speed. They really do. And for me, that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. Might you see some pitchers go shorter outings? Yeah, you could see that. The DL Hall injury is concerning. He's going to be out a couple of weeks. He was a long guy in your bullpen, but you might have somebody else step up. But you could see some starters go shorter innings, some shorter outings. You saw Jacob Mizorowski take a couple of weeks off. He's going to throw again in this Cubs series. You might see Brandon Woodruff have a shorter start like he did his last time. But that's about the only throttling I would see coming down the stretch is having your pitchers get some rest.
Freddie was fantastic, as he's been all season long. And he's always been good, Jeff. But what's allowed him to take that next step that he kind of has this year?
He's not a thrower anymore, Gabe. I mean, he's a pitcher. You could tell. And even in that 4th inning when he lost his command, he was 0-2 on Seiya Suzuki and then ends up walking the bases loaded on the span of like 14 pitches, and you go, where did it go? What happened? Right? And then he dials it back in. He strikes out a rookie. He was playing in his first game ever at Wrigley Field. That was the second out. That was huge. And then he gets Nico Hoerner to line out, and then he was aces after that. For whatever reason, there's that little blip every now and again where Freddie loses his command. But what did he go with to strike out Owen Casey? He didn't go fastball. He threw a changeup. What did he do against the Pirates last time out? He threw a ton of sliders. So everything is set up by the fastball, but his secondary stuff is as good as anybody's right now. The changeup has been unreal for the most part of the season, and the slider has come back, and when he needs to, he can flip in that curveball. But everything is set up because of that fastball command. For the most part, it's been really, really good this year.
Freddie Peralta retired the final 8 men he faced and became the first pitcher in baseball to reach 15 wins. We're talking with Jeff Levering. And look, now I am one of these people who wants him to get to that 20-win milestone. It's not a make or break. It's not like it really matters in the grand scheme of things, but I just feel like he deserves that milestone and recognition. And speaking of pitchers, Jeff, we all saw Jacob Mizorowski out there in his last outing, very short. There was some talk about the mound. He didn't want to get into that. How worried or concerned should Brewers fans be after that outing by Mizorowski?
So I love the 20-win thing. I think it's great. Wins are kind of arbitrary in Major League Baseball, but man, if you can get to 20 wins, that's awesome. So just want to finish that thought there for you, Jen. I think for Miz, I'm not super concerned about it. It was his first appearance on a mound in a couple of weeks. there were issues with it. I get it. Command was going to be dicey. It was essentially a rehab start anyway. He wasn't going to go any more than 60 pitches. A design short start next time out, maybe 75 to 80 pitches, which is either tomorrow or on Thursday, whenever he's going to go next. So for me, it's I'm not super concerned with Jacob Mizorowski. He still needs to get some touch and feel, but you want to see that come back sooner rather than later. I wouldn't be super concerned with it.
Jeff, is there an update on Hoskins and Churio?
Churio should be towards the latter stages of the month, maybe the next homestand for Rhys Hoskins. He was hitting. Neither are on the road trip at the moment. They're rehabbing back in Milwaukee. But it sounds like Rhys could go out on a rehab assignment pretty soon as well. But those guys are both making progress.
How creative are they going to have to be with kind of shuffling guys up and down for the bullpen to cover this stretch of games? It was supposed to be the doubleheader yesterday. Now we got the doubleheader today. Have this stretch of games that they have to get through. And it started off by the short Miz start, back-to-back extra inning games. How creative are they going to have to get?
I think they're going to be pretty creative, especially with the roster manipulation, because they're going to have to. They have 27th man again today, which is great. So they'll have Chad Patrick start game one, and then Brandon Woodruff goes game number two. But they are going to have to be creative. They're in the stretch of playing 19 games in 18 days. So this is the gauntlet. Everybody looked at this part of the schedule and went, okay, it's late August going into Labor Day, and this is the stretch where we're going to have to be ready to go. You might see a six-man rotation. You might see longer outings out of your bullpen guys to get you through this stretch. Brewers don't have an off day until September the 2nd. But I do think that they're going to have to be creative. They're in a much better spot than, say, the Cubs were yesterday. And, I mean, thank goodness for the rain. And, listen, it didn't rain until about 9:30 here last night. Could you have played? Probably. But there was some thunder and lightning in the area.
I feel like I've heard that one before. Could have played in Chicago.
Well, at least we're not getting sunburns from the rain out that we had like we did in 2017. True story. But nonetheless, they are going to have to figure out their pitching, and they're in a much better spot than where the Cubs are today.
All right, Jeff, you've been with the Brewers now for quite a while, so you know Craig Counsell. What do you make of him? Not just the George Webb thing with the, I've never even seen a George Webb, but how frustrated do you feel like he is right now with the way that the Cubs have been underperforming? And do you understand that Brewers fans are enjoying the hell out of it?
Yeah, I think he's in a tough spot right now, because the reason he left was because he didn't have enough quote-unquote resources to win a championship in Milwaukee, right? That was one of the big things, and that's why he wanted to come to Chicago. So, you know, I don't feel bad for him. I mean, he kind of made his own bed, to be honest with you. So for me, it's his team is underperforming. They've underperformed for the last month. And is it frustrating? Is it frustrating to be a Cubs fan? Sure. But the Brewers are playing so darn well. I mean, the Cubs were playing really good baseball there for a couple of months, and they were still losing ground to the Brewers because the Brewers were playing their tails off. And now their 2, 3, 4, and 5 hitters in the order are not doing much. So it's frustrating. I understand his frustration. Do I feel bad for him? No, I don't, because the Brewers are playing the heck out of the game of baseball right now, and it's fun to watch. And it's kind of fun to watch Cubs fans squirm a bit.
Well, and what makes it fun is, like kind of what you were saying, Jeff, the way that they play. And as Murph said yesterday, you know, some of these guys, Topps hasn't even made their baseball card yet. And when you think of some of the other best teams in Brewers history, there's usually been an MVP associated with it. 1982, Robin Yount. 2011, Ryan Braun. 2018, Christian Yelich. They don't have that. Who is the best player on the Brewers?
I would probably tell you that Christian Yelich is right now. He's having a fantastic season. Jackson Churio is having a really good year. Bryce Turang's having a really good year. We've done this exercise a few times in the clubhouse, and I'm sure people outside of the Brewers organization have done it too. If you look at teams around Major League Baseball and just do a side-by-side of their teams, and you put the Brewers up there against whoever the other team is, say the Phillies, say the Dodgers, say the Giants, say the Padres, whatever it is, take their starting nine against the Brewers starting nine. And what Brewers are you taking ahead of some of those starters? In most of that exercise, who are you taking? Maybe two guys?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe three guys, depending on the roster. So maybe it's 5-4, depending on what the roster is, but usually the other team. But who's winning those ball games? The Brewers are, because this is a team. It's not just a bunch of individuals doing a lot of different things. This is a full-on team that encompasses what this organization has put together. That's what makes this group different than any other team in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, on any given night, any given guy, Murphy saying, we're always going to be an underdog because of who these guys are. You can't measure this right here. And he pointed at his heart, which, by the way, is like a scene directly out of a Disney movie, right? Like that is quintessential.
Oh, it's Gene Hackman in The Replacements. He's walking off the field.
Shane Falco. Yeah. Yeah, bring it.
What does your team mean? He points at his heart. What does that mean? Heart. Miles and miles of heart.
Oh, gosh. Great call. Great call. Gene Hack. Very underrated film.
I thought you were going Hoosiers.
Very underrated.
When you said Gene Hackman, so did I.
For a minute, when you said Gene Hackman.
Jeff, we appreciate you hanging out with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. The last thing I have for you is this. We have started talking. I made a declaration at the beginning of August saying the way this team is playing, they could lose 6 games in the month of August, and that would be astounding. They are on pace for something like that, which is great. Can we be talking about a 100-win season? I know we have already had the conversation about World Series. I think people are starting to warm up to the idea about talking about this team as a World Series team. But 100 wins, Gabe, you said the math yesterday. Not our strong suit, I know, but it felt very doable.
It is very doable. And even if you play 500 baseball right now, you set a franchise record for wins in a single season. So, and that's 97. So 90, you're going to have to get to 98 to get to that franchise record. But all you have to do is play 500 baseball for the rest of the way. You got 98 wins. I think a 100-win season is very, very doable. Again, I don't see Pat Murphy throttling this thing down at all. And the schedule is what it is. I mean, it's going to get tough towards the tail end. You got to go to Toronto. Philadelphia comes back into town. You finish with the Reds. You have the Cardinals 6 more times. You're done with the Cubs after this week. But it's very doable. And I think for the Brewers, they only know one speed. So I would say that 100 wins is very gettable for this team and not too far out of the realm. Before you start talking about World Series, let's just start piling up playoff wins first before you get to, let's just do that.
Jeff Levering, play-by-play announcer for your Milwaukee Brewers, kind enough to spend some time with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Thank you, Jeff. Have a great call today, and we will talk to you again soon.
You got it. Talk to you next week, everybody.
He's Jeff Levering. He's so great. Great insight. Love having him on. And he gets Gabe's jokes, which is a huge bonus.
He's just, you know, just a baseball guy. That's all he is.
Yep.
What?
I'm not going to touch it. But
what?
Nothing. Nothing. You explained it to me. I had no idea. None.
You really wanted to ask him about it, didn't you? It took every ounce of your
being to ask
our guest about whatever you did.
I
if
just
people want to
realize,
know, listen back on the Wisconsin, ESPN Wisconsin
out of touch
app.
I really am.
Yeah.
And I thought I was the cool dad. I'm not. I'm the guy that got stuck in the tube.
The slide?
Yes.
I don't know how you would get stuck like that guy did.
He'd never go into a tube like that. He's too big.
No,
right?
I did at a cruise ship one time.
Like a water slide?
And they said, did they say pick your knees up or don't pick your knees? Well, it was definitely don't pick your knees
for
up.
For sure.
Because I got burned on the way down.
I assume you'd have to roll your shoulders too. Cool, right?
I think I hurt that too.
You got to make those boobies touch. Make your way down a water slide
no
on a cruise. Joshy.
Ready to go to break.
Yeah. I thought.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center, the only place to go for the ring. Chewy and I have been telling you about our guy, Dean Dean, the dancing machine, for years over at the Jewelry Center. And there's a reason. It's because of the great team that Dean has put together at the Jewelry Center. Whether you have an idea, whether you don't have an idea, maybe go to our Pinterest page, see if there's anything there. Bring those ideas in, because the Jewelry Center always going to point you in the right direction. And the selection is fantastic. Whether you're looking for a naturally mined diamond, lab-grown diamond, the Jewelry Center is never going to let you down. Check out one of their 3 locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. ShopTJC.com. When you go there, say hi to the team for me and tell Dean that Chewy and Gabe sent you.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And guess who didn't hit the hole? Zeke Elliott.
Ashton.
Well, I mean, yes. You all right back there?
That's so true.
It was a direct shot. She took out the sniper rifle and just...
not a, no, she got right up to me, took out a Glock, and just shot.
Yeah, right in the balls.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Guys, it doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can't be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. I have been working with Mentality for years. Was working with them for a little bit. Didn't even think about, oh, I'm younger. Probably not going to affect me. Low testosterone. Even though I was kind of tired, groggy, just didn't feel like myself. Turns out that was all low testosterone. And I got it fixed because of my friends at Mentality. I have a customized testosterone treatment plan just for me. I go back every 12, 13 weeks, check in with them, make sure my levels are where they need to be. And if they're not, Mentality will adjust your dosage. Increase strength, shake fatigue, sleep better, lose weight with Mentality. What are you waiting for? Go to lowtusa.com today to book that appointment. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Find out more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments at lowtusa.com.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night?
Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
Okay, this list isn't as good as last week's. It is basically top 10 how... It's really stupid. I was going to go in another direction. It's the preseason. Okay? Top 10 preseason.
Okay. Is that because
right
we're
now,
in the preseason?
It makes no sense. Yes. Don't overthink it.
Okay.
It's just because we're in the preseason.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. Don't overthink it.
Well, Josh, let me ask you a question. Did you see who number 3 was?
Haven't looked at the list.
Okay. Well, we'll get there then. So with that, give me number 10.
It's always tougher for me to do the bottom 5 than the top 5, right? I feel like I have a pretty
good handle.
Although
apparently 3 could be a bugaboo this week.
How about the Broncos?
I put the Rams just because of the uncertainty of their quarterback at 10.
Although Matthew Stafford is back.
The
ish.
The back-ish.
Minnesota Vikings. Denver was 11, Jen.
So ESPN preseason power rankings not yes. as high on the Broncos as other people.
We're going to get to some dumb ones. Don't overthink it. Number 9.
So the Vikings were 10.
Yeah, I'll go back.
Let me just say this, because number 9 in my world, if I did this list, would be 1.
The Eagles?
That's what I would have 1.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, you'll get it in a minute.
The Lions? Ravens?
It's not the Bills. Is it the Bengals?
Good call. Cincinnati Bengals.
Why would you have them at 1?
Because these are two preseason games where they're playing their starters and they've won both.
That's not what this is.
What is it then?
This is the rankings of the teams. Like
it's literally just NFL rankings, but because we're in the preseason right now, they're calling them.
I like my list better, the one I made up in my head.
You would.
So this is what?
They're not ranking the way the teams have played in the preseason.
I thought that's what they were doing.
Is your list things you've never heard of when you walk into Walgreens? Because that would be a fun list.
Keep going?
Yeah. This is just power
rankings.
All right,
rankings. Okay.
It's just straight
Don't
power
yell
rankings.
At me.
Okay, that is not yelling.
8.
Wait, so Vikings were already called. Packers, number 8.
I will go Niners 8.
This is the Rams.
Okay. Huh.
Number 8. See, my list would have been better. But we'll go with what's in front of me. Number 7.
Packers.
Goal, pack, goal.
They are, in fact, 7. There's a who's under the most pressure? What player is under the most pressure?
Player under the most pressure...
Yeah.
You gonna say Van Ness?
Jordan
Love? Is it besides Jordan Love?
Just think of like we don't know what he's gonna be. We think he's pretty good, but he's under a lot of pressure. Actually, pretty good. Any idea?
Hold on. It's not a defensive lineman.
No, it's not a defensive lineman.
Is it a defensive player?
Yes.
Edrin Cooper.
No.
No.
Quay
he's
Walker.
He's not a pretty
no.
good player.
Rashawn
we don't know
Gary?
What he is.
A lot of pressure.
Kenny Clark.
QB1.
Jordan Love?
He donned himself. Oh, no, QB. CB1.
Jesus.
CB1.
Keyshawn.
Yes. Do you agree with that or no?
There's a lot of pressure there. I think there's more pressure on Rashawn Gary. No. Because
why
if Rashawn,
is there pressure? We know what he is.
But if Rashawn Gary performs the way he has the last couple of seasons, there's talk about him taking a salary reduction or being gone completely.
Okay.
With the contract that he has.
I just think of Keyshawn Nixon matching up against all of these
teams,
number ones.
Yes.
And he did last year, and he held up fine.
Not the whole year, though.
I mean, the back half of the schedule was loaded with all the division teams that we're worried about.
Yeah, they were resting their players. We're going to see. Number six.
Wait, I forgot what we said. So the Packers were number seven.
All right, here, I'll reset it. Minnesota, Cincinnati, Rams, Packers, six.
I'm missing a team because I got my top five.
Texans.
Ooh.
Won a playoff game the last couple of years. I'm sticking with the Texans.
I'm going with Washington because they're outside of my top five and they haven't been mentioned yet.
Good call. Washington is in fact sixth. Their player under the most pressure is Marshawn Lattimore.
Okay.
Five.
Okay, so this is where I have my list. Five, I have the Ravens.
Lions.
Gabe's correct. The Lions. Who do you think their most under pressure is?
Player?
Big name.
Goff?
Yes.
So the Lions, Goff is the guy, but the Packers, Love is the guy?
Well, that's probably coordinator.
I just assumed that it was, well, because of the new coordinator.
Yeah.
I just assumed it was outside of the quarterback position because don't they always have the most pressure? All right, what do we got?
Four.
I have the Ravens at four.
A-O.
The Ravens are, in fact, four. Their player under the most pressure, Mark Andrews.
Okay, makes sense.
Because the other guy's pretty darn good, too.
Yeah. Isaiah Likely's been good.
And he got paid a lot of money, so. All right, three.
Chiefs, number three.
A.O. Buffalo. I forgot they got Joey Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
God,
I think the Bills should be above the Chiefs on this list.
I would agree.
Why?
I don't know. It's just what I feel.
Because it's about time.
But until the Chiefs actually don't go to a Super Bowl, the Chiefs should be the top-ranked AFC team from now in perpetuity. Until somebody actually knocks them off and beats them.
Fair.
Josh Allen is the reigning MVP.
Yeah.
There's the concern.
Last year.
I keep going back to, who is Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball to?
Oh, Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice is healthy this year. Okay. He is really good. Xavier Worthy growing out of a year. I mean, if you want to do that, I mean, the receiver room for the Chiefs is light years ahead of what the Bills have.
Yeah. I guess I just have more confidence right now within Josh Allen than I do Patrick Mahomes, which is crazy because Patrick Mahomes is obviously a generational
talent. All he does
talent,
is win.
Yeah.
Whose D is better, though? Buffalo?
No.
You think so?
Kansas City's been very quiet.
Yeah, they're sleepy. Spagnuolo's good.
They've been very quietly a defensive first team the last couple of seasons.
All right, two.
Chiefs.
Yeah, it's got to be the Chiefs and the Eagles.
Chefs
are one.
Two, Eagles one.
So now that you know what the list is, do you feel like it was a pretty good list, Chew?
I'm not. I know you had Denver. I don't love Denver. I mean, good D, but Bo Nix is set up for.
And again, what I don't know is how much of it is everybody just falling under the Sean Payton spell, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a good chunk.
Because he kind of waxes poetic and he's charming. And, you know, he's, like you mentioned, you watched what Bo Nix did last year. I think there's a lot of that happening. But again, until we see him out on the field in the regular season, I'm reserving judgment.
49ers 15.
Whoa.
Chargers 14.
Did that window close fast or what? Or maybe it was open for a long time. It was open for like 5 years, right?
For
Niners. Championship window.
I still think McCaffrey is legit.
Yeah.
I mean, he essentially
he
had
healthy?
A year off.
Yeah. If he stays healthy, like that team's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, a lot falls on Brock Purdy, and last year he didn't answer the bell.
Tampa Bay?
Underrated.
I
like Tampa Bay.
Their defense is... okay.
But it's funny because I've heard a lot of people that are real high on Tampa Bay. So when you say underrated, you mean by
whatever this poll is, they should be a top 10 team.
Well, Adam.
Like, they're better than Minnesota.
Adam's the one that said, don't sleep on Tampa. years. No, not years.
Josh, you want to give us a little recap of the text you just sent to us in the group chat?
You mean the Jair Alexander missing?
Yeah, I saw that.
Days and days of practice, still having a drain done on his knee drained. And that problem is associated to something that happened a while ago.
Few years, something he's been dealing with for a few years.
Feels like the Packers could have treated his knee injury a little more importantly last year than they did. I feel there's a lot of not good things all the way around with that knee injury for him.
You think it's a Bakhtiari?
I don't know.
I mean, you get your knee drained because of your bursa sack.
You just like saying bursa sack.
What the hell does that have to do with years ago? I had one of mine removed.
I'm just saying that John Harbaugh said that Jair Alexander is missing practice with, quote, something he's been dealing with for a few years.
Okay. Good riddance. Right?
I mean,
you just said Keyshawn Nixon is the player that is under the most pressure.
I
kind of
had to rethink that a little bit. It would be nice to have one more corner.
Like Jair?
But Jair's injured right now.
Yeah.
So you're saying he would likely be injured also if he were in a Packers uniform.
I can't imagine. Imagine that he's just getting his knee drained because he's in Baltimore. I'm guessing that would have been something, no matter where he went, he'd be dealing with right now.
I agree.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wrap things up after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I have told you how many times.
I know.
Do not mess with electricity, Chew.
And I don't. I did. I did. But
there was
an
incident?
There was one.
Plumbing, you're going to get wet. Electricity, you're going to die.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. These days, it feels like there's advice for everything. Cold plunges, gratitude journals, screen detoxes. But how do you know what's actually going to work for you? It's a lot of trial and error. There's a lot of information out there about mental health and wellness. And so I know it can be a struggle to know what is true and what actions you should be taking. Have you given therapy a shot? Over 30,000 therapists work at BetterHelp. It's the world's largest online therapy platform, having served more than 5 million people globally. And it works. There's an App Store rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on 1.7 million client reviews. And guys, it's convenient as well. You can join a session with BetterHelp with the click of a button, do it at home, fit it into your busy life, and you can switch therapists at any time if the person you're talking to isn't working for you. Here's a great deal. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/timeout. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/timeout, because we are all better with help. I'm still trying to work through cautiously optimistic and optimistically cautious. They sound like two sides of the same coin. But Chewy is saying that one is actually more optimistic than the other.
Because the positive word goes first.
Yes.
Optimistic.
Yes.
Lee. Think of it as a stiff arm. Okay?
Please explain.
Running down the field, you got the ball. People are behind you. You keep that one arm free just in case something bad's going to happen.
So you're stiff-arming the Brewers season.
Arm is free just in case he needs to, kind of just keep it at arm's length.
Yes.
What's the best stiff arm you ever gave in a game?
I don't know if I ever gave one.
What?
Remember, I went 78 yards in college and fumbled on the 1 yard line, but somehow did a barrel roll and the ball was right there.
So you held on to it?
I did, but I didn't score.
Who was your coach?
Cufflink.
I can see why you'd be scared then.
Yeah.
Of about fumbling on the one.
I also snapped. You know what the worst feeling in football is? When you're on the road and you're snapping.
Oh, I was going to say pooping yourself, but go on.
Well, that's bad. When you're snapping it and all of a sudden you hear the crowd go crazy, that's never a good thing.
They're not cheering for your snap.
It must have been a really good snap. The crowd's going wild.
Something bad happened.
Aren't you looking back there to see?
No, you can't because you got a block out of it.
You're right. You got a block.
So then when you do that, you always run to the opposite 30-yard line. So the coach, he doesn't think you'll see him. Oh, they find you. Oh, they find you. And then your backup center gets ticked because you get the hook, and now he has to snap. That happened in Cleveland. They used to call me Bowling for Dollars and Rocket Man.
I know Rocket Man. What does Bowling for Dollars mean?
Don't you remember that game show? Bowling for Dollars is mean when you roll the snap back.
Oh, you're rolling it down the alley.
Yes.
Got it. Yep. Like my kiddos do when we go bowling.
Exactly.
A little two-hand action.
Except there's no bumpers in football.
Just imagine how much better you would have been if there were. All right. We'll
Why did they ever
next.
Let you do that?
I have no idea.
Because he wore them down. Wildy and Tosh is next. Have a great day, everybody.